Mobot News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 Watt 1180 WHAM.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips. No, hi, how are you? I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And Glenn, really, how far up did you have to reach for that one, and how disappointed were you when you saw what you had there in your hand?
Yes. Well, it just so happens that when I turned on my laptop yesterday morning, up popped this thing from the aforementioned company, you know, and okay, and you know, when that comes up, then you have to kind of wait for a minute and put it over to the side, and things don't move as fast,
Exactly.
So that name is on, and the whole honeymooners thing popped into my mind at the moment. You know,
Norton,
hey, you know, hey, Ralphie boy,
very good. All right, it is now 8.5 minutes after the hour, and we are Soundbite. It's going to be an interesting day, as I've done for the last couple of weeks. I'm actually starting the show with a quick note about the poll. As you know, we do a poll every week. This week's poll, I'll mention last week's poll later on, maybe top of the second hour, but this week's poll is about an interesting news story in the paper. Australian PC maker Pioneer Computers is taking pre-orders for laptops based on an unreleased quad-core mobile processor from Intel, saying the chips are very close to being available. Intel's 2.53 gigahertz quad-core Core 2 Extreme QX9300 processor, for all you hardware geeks in the audience, is advertised as a $1,390 upgrade to Pioneer Computer's Dreambook-style 9008 laptop. Reflecting the chip's expected position at the top end of Intel's mobile product line, the cost of the upgrade is more than the laptop's basic price. The quad-core chip, which is not listed on Intel's most recent price list, and will be the company's first quad-core mobile chip, packs 12 megabytes of on-chip cache, according to Pioneer. Laptops based in the quad-core laptop chip are not currently available, but can be shipped to customers within 1 to 2 weeks, according to a Pioneer sales representative. This isn't the first time that Pioneer Computers has offered a peek at Intel's upcoming products. In April, the company leaked details of processors that are part of Intel's upcoming Centrino 2 chip package for laptops. Intel declined to comment on the quad-core laptop chip, with a spokes individual saying the company does not comment on unannounced products. While Intel has yet to release the QX9300, the chip is listed on a product roadmap prepared by Intel. QX9300 is the only quad-core laptop chip listed on the roadmap. And the roadmap, of course, does not list details when these chips will be available. So our question this week is about a quad-core laptop. How deeply and how desperately do you need one, want one, like one, or not really care? The reason I'm mentioning this at the beginning of the show again is, which I haven't done much before, is if you'd like to call and comment on the poll, if you'd like to talk about your feelings about a quad-core laptop, this is the place to do it. You already know the numbers, 222-1180 and the 585 area code. 295-1180, that's an 800 number from One Communications. And Verizon Wireless customers can just hit star 1180. Again, in the Western New York area, and get online. But we are going to go to the phones now. And our first caller is Linda from Greece, New York. Welcome, Linda. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks. What's your question?
Okay. I got in Second Life, but my question is, I got a learning disability, and once I get in there, I can never find you guys, and I don't know how to find you guys.
Okay, here's the key thing, and for all you folks out there getting into Second Life, we'll give you a little Second Life 101 here. Once you sign on and get into it, basically you go to the intro or the introduction or the learn your basics about Second Life Island. And basically what they're teaching you is, one, how to move around, how to fly, how to manipulate things, and just, like I say, the very basics. So if you go to all four stations, it's like they show you a piece of a puzzle, and there's four pieces of the puzzle. After you do each one of those tasks, from there, you're now free to go to any other island. It's a good idea to learn just those four basic things because it helps getting moving around and everything else a lot easier. So once you learn those things, with Second Life opened up, you then open up your browser. You go to the Soundbites webpage.
Your regular web browser.
Your regular web browser. You click on the Soundbites, and on the front page there, we have a link to find us on Second Life. You click on that slurl, is what it's called.
Second Life URL.
And what it'll do is teleport you. You can say teleport. Then if you switch over to Second Life, you're going to see a screen there that says teleport to the Second Life Soundbites Island. You can click teleport, and it will automatically take you from that intro island over to Second Life Soundbites Island.
And you have to only do this once. The learning about the stuff and going through the four stations on the island, that's just for when you very first get into Second Life. To find us, if you're already semi-familiar with Second Life, you know how to walk around, you know how to fly, you know how to do that stuff. Then all you need to do is start your Second Life client, start your browser, and on our homepage, there's a link that says join us in Second Life. Click on that, and you'll see a new page come up with a teleport button. Hit the teleport button, flip over to the Second Life client, say, yeah, I want to teleport, and you'll be there. And then you can bookmark us, create a landmark. They call it a landmark. And then you'll never have to worry about it again. You'll always know where we are because we'll always have the landmark.
Well, they can also set it as their home spot.
Yeah, they can.
There's a feature in there that allows you to mark it as your home spot. So once you get in there, we can teach you other tips and tricks, and that's the things that we're hoping to do, like on Friday nights now. Nick, Steve, and I are trying to set it up regularly that every Friday night at 10 o'clock, that's 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we are over there on Second Life Island. We're trying to set up an agenda, too, of different things that we're going to talk about, do, because we've got the advantage, three of us, of being on Second Life a little longer than the rest of you folks, so you can learn from our experience. We've got some great places that if you're trying to collect stuff and, just sharing ideas on how to make the experience that much more fun.
All righty. And that's how you do that. Our next caller is Henry from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Henry. What's your question?
Hi. Last week, I did an update on Microsoft Windows XP. And after I was done and rebooted, it came up into the check disk utility was running. And it finished, went through step one, step two, and step three. But after it was completed, a lot of my networking capability disappeared. All some of the icons that are in the tray down at the lower right-hand corner, like Zone Alarm and Linksys and even AVG, were gone. And aside from doing a reinstall of those utilities, I'm kind of at a loss as to why that capability was wiped out by CheckDisk.
Well, it wasn't CheckDisk that did it. It was the Microsoft update. This is actually one of the news stories for later in the show. The Microsoft update conflicts with Zone Alarm.
Okay.
If you turn off Zone Alarm, all that other stuff essentially comes back, and you'll be good to go for fixing it. You should be able to get everything back if you turn off Zone Alarm. Now, you don't want to turn off Zone Alarm for long.
Oh, right.
But that would, in fact, get it back. And it seems to only be Zone Alarm, but...
So even though Zone Alarm is not in the tray, it's still running, you're saying?
Well, it conflicted, right. It tries to start up when the system tries to start up, and it conflicts with that patch. So, you know, the best thing to do is to remove the patch, and we'll talk about that a little later. But that's probably the thing I would do first. I would remove the patch.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Sure. Thank you. I actually had that problem earlier in the week on a friend's laptop. He could not get on the net at all. And I hadn't even read this news article yet because it was that day. But I uninstalled the patch and he was back on fire.
Yeah, it was that Tuesday that I think it started popping up for
tonight.
Folks.
Yep. All right. Our next caller, Max from Brockport. Welcome, Max. What's your question?
Hey, guys. I got about 2 weeks ago, I got a blue screen with a whole bunch of error reports came up when I turned my computer on. It's a desktop. I went through, long story short, I took all my data and put it on a external hard drive.
Good.
And called Dell and talked to five people in India. And they rebooted, well, I guess they talked me through the process of rebooting my computer so it's in its an original form. All of my programs are gone that
right.
I put on. Okay, it worked fine. And then yesterday I turned it on. It turned right on. And then all of a sudden the screen went black and the computer turned off by itself, like the power had gone off. But I had power in the house, and so I tried to turn it on again, and I'm getting a blinking little yellow light where the button is to turn it on, mm-hmm. and nothing happens. Nothing comes
up. Is this machine still under warranty?
No. Oh, gosh, it's only a year and a half old.
Yeah, but since it's through Dell, double-check on your warranty. Sometimes when you get them through Dell, they sneak in a 2 or 3 year warranty that you're unaware of. I first verify before taking it anywhere to have it looked at or repaired. First go on, you know, you can check it yourself under your tag code on the back of the machine.
Right.
And see how long the warranty is for. It should tell you how you put that service tag number in there. That gives you all the information about your machine.
Oh, okay.
And it should tell you how long the warranty is up for. Make sure it's only for a year. Quite often they slide it in there and folks are unaware of it, that it's all of a sudden for 2 or 3 years, because that's how they make extra money, is by sliding that in. And a lot of folks don't realize it.
Right. But, well, I did have service agreement. I had to buy my time with Dell this last time, $40 for the work that they did over the phone, because I only had a 1 year agreement. I didn't have anything longer than 1 year for the service. Now, does that mean that the warranty on the computer itself?
Most likely. Yeah, most likely.
It still can't hurt to check.
Yeah, I'd still check and just see for tickles and grins. Worst it's going to cost you is a couple minutes on another computer just to verify that whether the warranty is still on it or not.
And then if not, then you need to take it to somebody. We are going to take a break. I never did mention that it is the 13th of July on Domini 2008. It is 20 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a quick break. Dave Enright, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Well, unless you were hiding under an exceptionally large rock on an exceptionally small moon somewhere, you know that Apple introduced the iPhone. What you may not know is that Apple's singular ability to whip up customer frenzy might be in trouble after the debacle that was Friday's iPhone G3 launch. Server problems turned this year's iPhone G3 launch into an exercise in patience for Apple fans and employees This is Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen, professional to the core. As eager buyers faced, well, are you just playing around in there and decided to put it on the air? Is that what that was about?
Yeah, I love it how you make it to, you know, sound to everybody like I just show up, press a few buttons, don't do anything, when really I am running the show in here and directing
the show.
You guys.
You know I've always said that on the air.
Yeah.
Not
what did you call me
friends.
Earlier and you're lucky you haven't called it to me? I called me that on the air.
You're the one. Well, wait a minute. Aren't you the one who was sitting there and said, just call me the board op?
No, I have never said that.
Didn't he say that in the room just now?
Mm-hmm. Not on
said,
the air.
Not on the air. Never call you that.
Just
on the
call
air.
Me Eeny Meeny. I told
you're
you that.
You're Eeny Meeny. You're the blind squirrel finding a nut every once in a while.
They even get lucky.
Yeah. Eager buyers faced waits up to 2 hours to get their iPhone G3s activated in Apple stores. Many left with their G3s in hand, but the activation process incomplete. The same problem affected original iPhone owners trying to install the iPhone 2.0 software, which actually turned their handsets into iBricks. The company had promised customers that the iPhone G3 activation process would take 10 to 15 minutes, but only a lucky few spent that little time. The entire system ground to a halt around 11:30 a.m. as Apple's iTunes servers went down in what appears to be a massive flood of traffic. Despite it all, the lines in Apple stores, numbering 700 strong in certain stores, were well-behaved and patient mostly. There was a fight in one of the California stores, a fist fight, but that was about it. Most of the people are Apple's biggest fans. They were standing in line not just because they love the product, but for the camaraderie of their fellow geeks. But a large part of Apple's marketing strategy depends on those early adopters spreading the gossip to their friends and family about the wonderful products and services offered by Apple. No one is complaining about the product, but the service left a lot to be desired, and some of Apple's best customers left the stores fuming after their experiences. What happened is that there appears to have been massive stress placed on the iTunes infrastructure as countries around the world attempted to activate new iPhones or upgrade old iPhones. The launch appeared to go smoothly in New Zealand, Australia, and Japan, but as the sun traveled across the earth, the issues began to emerge. O2, the exclusive carrier of the iPhone in the UK, ran into huge problems activating iPhones through iTunes. Macworld UK reported that O2's web activation process requires Windows and Internet Explorer, which is obviously a problem when you're trying to activate an iPhone in an Apple store. I can't believe that's true, but maybe for O2. Not for the iPhone, but for O2 itself, which, as I said, is the exclusive carrier of the iPhone in the UK. Problems multiplied as people in the U.S. woke up and began purchasing their iPhone G3s and downloading the iPhone 2.0 software. The process was slow but moving in New York as the launch got underway. However, there were early signs that things were just as bad in the U.S. as they were in the U.K. The first person to emerge with an iPhone G3 at the Fifth Avenue Apple Store in New York was actually the 75th in line to start the day. By the time San Francisco hit the 8 a.m. hour, the launch process had ground to a halt. The first customers let into the downtown San Francisco Apple Store were initially told that AT&T's activation process had failed for about 30 minutes, which AT&T later denied, pointing the finger squarely at Apple. To the best of my knowledge, AT&T servers did not crash, said Mark Siegel, an AT&T spokesman. So if any of you actually have an iPhone and managed to get through the process, we'd love to hear what your experiences were. In the meantime, we'll go back to the phones, and our next caller is Ginny in Pittsford. Welcome, Ginny. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. Before I ask you my question, would you welcome another tip about that zone alarm problem?
Always.
When you download the patch and reboot, and then you cannot get online, if you open up zone alarm and go into the firewall, the main tab, just change that from high to medium, and you'll be able to get back online again.
Oh, excellent. You don't want to just leave it that way, of course.
No, eventually you'll have to put it back.
Right.
But that's another option. My question,
excellent, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. My question is about a free software product called Spyware Blaster that runs in the background instead of having to use it when you're finished on the computer. Do you know anything about it?
Yeah, I've played with it, but I'm not too impressed with it. I prefer, instead of the Spyware Blaster, I prefer the Super Anti-Spyware.
Does Super Anti-Spyware.
Pardon?
Does that run in the background?
Yes, it does, ma'am. And it does a great job in that it goes. The reason I like this particular one, folks, say, well, why one over the other? Because it seems to go both deep into the registry and into the programs. And I still recommend doing the Adware and the SpyBot because they also do it. Doesn't hurt to double check on that type of stuff. Because they different variants, and one can miss one, and the other will catch it. But this seems to do a pretty good, thorough job of also going through both and eliminating stuff to where then when you run Adware and SpyBot separately, they'll do a little bit of cleanup that maybe the other one didn't get.
I see. So you don't always have to run it manually.
No, this will run in the background once you set it up.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, our next caller is Dan in Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, quick further update on Zone Alarm. As of about 10 o'clock last night, Zone Alarm issued a patch, which supposedly fixes the problems with the auto updates. So those of you that have Zone Alarm can just go out and do an auto update, and the patch fixes it. So
excellent.
I was reading, that they had the patch to fix the patch.
So if you set it to medium, then you'll be able to get online.
Mm-hmm.
Then you do an update of Zone Alarm, which fixes the problem, and you set it back to high again.
There you go.
Excellent. Thank you, Dan. I love it. Thanks both to Ginny and Dan. I love it when our callers call in with answers to the questions, because then we don't have to work as hard. Our next caller is Ron from Webster, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
I've got a problem with a mouse on my computer. It's an HP Pavilion, a few months old. It's got a quad-core processor and 3 gig of memory. And originally, the computer came with a wired keyboard and mouse. And even at that point, when I would use the mouse, I would go to set it on a button to click on or that. The cursor would jump to another part of the the screen. So I threw the keyboard and the mouse out and grabbed a wireless, but same thing happened.
How do you connect to the internet?
Yeah.
Roadrunner.
Check to see if there's a modem in this computer.
Okay.
If there is, disable it.
All right.
Because, well, basically the internal logic and design of a motherboard hasn't changed since, well, the late 70s when IBM started introducing personal computers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing called an interrupt request, IRQ.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Whenever a hardware device needs to move data out of its buffer, it can generate an IRQ, which basically says to the computer, stop everything, I need attention right now.
Uh-huh.
There are only, what, 16 of them? And many devices use them. So there are sharing things that go on. And in many cases, the modem and the mouse share an IRQ.
Uh-huh.
So if the modem is trying to see whether or not it's needed, at the same time the mouse is trying to do something,
mm-hmm.
there will be an IRQ conflict. And for a moment, it may well be possible for the computer to pay attention to the modem, not the mouse.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay, good deal. I appreciate the help.
There you go. Thank you.
All right, now. Bye-bye.
Our next caller is Tony from Greece, New York. Welcome, Tony. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Good morning. Question. I'm looking to purchase new antivirus software.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to make any advertisements for anybody, but I see some things on sale in the paper today. But I was just wondering what you would suggest, like McAfee Total Protection 3 users.
No, I'll tell you what.
We got a better one, and it won't even cost you any money.
There are two that we like that are free.
Okay.
One is called AVG.
I just went on AVG 7.5,
uh-huh.
and now they released 8.0, but I don't see where it's free anymore.
Free.grisoft.com.
Okay.
Free.grisoft, G-R-I-S-O-F-T.com.
Okay.
There's also Avast, A-V-A-S-T.com. I'm personally partial to Avast right now, mostly because it talks to me.
Avast.com.
Yeah.
Okay. So I like free.
Free is always good.
And also do the super anti-spyware, the Edware, and the SpyBot.
I have those.
Good.
Very good.
And you're covered.
Thanks, there you guys. Thanks. All right. Our next caller, Jim from Victor, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
I just bought a new iMac, and I'm really excited to open it, but I wanted to ask, do I need to get, like, a virus protection or spyware for the Mac if I'm going to use a camera on Windows on it?
You will want, well, are you actually on your iPhone? Because your reception is horrible. Anyway, here's the deal. If you are using any version of Windows in boot camp, you need to protect it just like you would on a PC. Because it is essentially a PC. It's not the hardware that gets corrupted, it's the software. So if you're running Windows, you have to protect Windows. So I would suggest the first thing you do if you're using boot camp or anything, or you're running in a virtual session or whatever you're doing, the first thing you want to do is download an antivirus program and a firewall and install them in Windows, so that you are protected. That is really the only way to do that.
Jim, how old is your iMac?
He's gone.
Oh. He's gone. If it's a new
you
one,
just did that. Well, you don't use Bootcamp.
I've been doing that. No, I don't use Bootcamp, but Clam AV is the antivirus of choice.
Right. On the Mac side.
Right.
And that's an excellent product, but I think he's talking about if he uses Bootcamp and he reboots into Windows.
Ah, okay.
Does he need an antivirus there, too? And, of course, the answer is absolutely.
Of course, yes.
Desperately. But you do need it in both. And I know I'm now riling the Mac cognoscenti, the Mac faithful, the Mac fanatics. But you need antivirus in both. Our next caller is Carolyn from, is it Carolyn or Caroline from Greece, New York?
Carolyn.
Carolyn, I had it right the first time.
Yes.
Why do I second guess myself? It's like taking the SATs. Never change an answer.
That's right.
All right, Carolyn, what's your
leave
question?
Leave the eraser home. We have a problem that just recently showed up. We have a Dell Vostro desktop.
Right.
And we use Frontier DSL. So we don't have a router, so we connect the DSL modem right to our desktop, and it seems to work fine.
Right.
But we also have an older IBM laptop, and sometimes we'll connect the DSL modem to that to do
right.
some updating on that. When we're done with that, very often when we connect it back to our desktop, we cannot get on the internet.
Right.
If you wait till the next day, then everything is fine.
Yeah, here's the problem. When you get a connection to the internet, you need to have an IP address, an internet protocol address.
Yes.
And that's delivered once every X hours. It's called leasing it. You
okay.
lease it for X hours, and then you can renew that lease indefinitely, but every X hours.
Okay.
Right? And I don't remember what X is for the DSL modem, but let's say it's 6.
Okay.
So what that means is if you were to get a connection, you have leased your one IP address to the laptop, and now you need to wait 6 hours before it'll re-lease it to the desktop.
Okay.
Or you do a release renew. You open up a command line, go to the start button, select run.
Okay.
And type CMD and hit enter, which is short for command line.
Yes.
Then you type ipconfig, ipconfig, space, the divide by key, slash, the one underneath the question mark.
Yep.
Release. Hit enter.
Okay.
Then it's ipconfig/renew. What you've done is released the lease.
Okay.
And then renewed the lease.
Okay.
So you should get the address back on your machine.
After you do the release, sometimes it's not always very cooperative, let's put it that way, in renewing.
Mm-hmm.
It might give you a hassle. As long as you've done the release, and if it doesn't do the renew, shut it down, restart it, and it'll renew it then.
Okay. Is there a way of doing that same thing in Linux?
Yes, it's called ifconfig. And it's, you do IF up, IF for interface up, all one word, IF up. And then your thing, it's either ETH 0, ETH 1, whatever it is. So it's IF down F0, IF up F0. Does the same thing. But you have to do that as root. So if you're using Ubuntu, for example, you might need to use the word sudo, sudo, in front of that. So sudo if down F1 or F0, and then sudo IF up F0. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes at 40 minutes after the hour with Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 44 minutes after
Glenn
the hour,
Lambert
get down,
has
get
lost
funky.
It.
Get up, take a shower.
Get down, get okay.
Very, very nice. For those of you who are looking at the webcam in
I was going to say, the webcam would have a great shot of what just happened right now.
Yeah,
I blanked
the screen just for a couple of minutes just to get that past there before something shatters. All right. Here's that news item we were talking about. Users of the Zone Alarm Firewall have reported dead internet connections after stalling one of the security updates issued by Microsoft. This started early Wednesday, actually Tuesday night. A friend of mine got caught by it, and so I had to fix it there. On early Wednesday, Zone Alarm told its users to uninstall the Microsoft patch, which fixed the widespread problem with the web's addressing system, or make more technical changes to their PCs in order to regain a connection. The company actually released a patch. Shortly after Microsoft posted its monthly security updates on Tuesday, Zone Alarm users running Windows XP started posting complaints about broken connections. After installing the patches, people couldn't access the internet. People noticed that as soon as they disabled Zone Alarm, they were able to access the internet again. Now, Zone Alarm, which is part of Checkpoint Software Technologies Limited, acknowledged the problem, posted several workarounds, which we've already talked about. Uninstall the Microsoft patch, lower your security settings, or whatever the problem, cause Zone Alarm users to lose internet access. And that is a very serious issue. But as we've been talking about for much of the day, that's been fixed.
Yep.
You know, you can download the patch by simply either uninstalling that Microsoft patch, then you can get back on the internet, download the Zone Alarm patch, or you could just lower the security, download the patch, install it, and then raise the security again. That's probably the best way to do it, as it is both easier and then leaves the Microsoft patch in place. Heaven knows we don't want to mess too much with them because God knows how fragile they are. Our next caller is Harold from Hamlin, New York. Welcome, Harold. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I got a computer that has multiple accounts on it, and I'm trying to run the security Tango in safe mode.
Yeah.
And when I boot the safe mode, that one account is missing. It comes up as administrator and whatever the name of the other account is.
Because the screen is so large, what you have to do is use the down arrow key.
Oh, man.
And that will then take you on down to that other account.
All right, the down arrow key.
But here, I can offer you something even better. If you clean most of the stuff out under, say, the administrator account, you want to clean all the other junk out of, say, the other accounts,
mm-hmm.
Found a great program called ATF. All it's right. called ATF Cleaner. And this program is great for folks that have multiple accounts on one computer, say with a family. What you can do is run this program under one account, usually the one with the administrative rights, and it will clean out all the temp and junk files on each of the other accounts.
All righty.
It's a great utility to use and have.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. Our next caller is Tony from East Rochester. Welcome, Tony. What's your question?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I think you've already discussed what happened Tuesday night with Microsoft.
Yep.
My computer young man, you may know him, he has told me I don't need any more patches, turn off automatic updates. He has me using Firefox as a browser.
But certainly using Firefox as a browser is much safer and much better. But it doesn't mean you don't need patches, because not all the patches are for web-related, browser-related stuff.
Okay.
So my suggestion is, yeah, that you should leave updating on. What operating system are you running?
XP.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to leave it on.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah,
you don't want to turn that off. Granted, there might not be patches for Firefox or that type of stuff, but there are patches for security reasons to the operating system that you're going to want.
Right, and they are still putting those out. Now, one of the things is, yes, Microsoft has stopped supporting a lot of patches for XP, but there are still some security patches coming out, and we're not sure how long that will continue because Microsoft is making noises about continuing to support XP for very teeny computers. And it may well be that they never turn off patching for security purposes for XP.
Okay, now if I go and I do this, I have Zone Alarm, the free version.
Yes.
I just turn that off.
You can lower the security from high to medium.
Right.
Then download the Zone Alarm patch, and then everything will work as it always has. Get your little computer person to do that for you. I'm afraid we have to take a break now, Tony. It is 50 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. All right, kiddies, it's that time once again. Get your footy jammies on. Grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair. And if we can slap them awake, and you can see that rocking chair in Second Life, by the way. If we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Okay, Lucy Lou. As Ricky would say, let me explain something to you. And what I mean by that is, yes, when you bring your computer in and we do a diagnostic, we don't fix it. I don't know how many times I got to say this, but when you pay a diagnostic fee, that's to find out what the problem is. Because I had a couple folks say, well, if you know what it is, why didn't you just go ahead and fix it? Because it's actually going to take me longer than just that $40 or that quick check just to do it. And that's why we do it, just to tell you whether it's worth it or not. And that's the whole reason behind a diagnostic fee. A lot of folks say, well, you know, I don't want to put a lot in. Well,
then put it on the bench and run up all these fees. That's why we offer the diagnostic. You can sit there, and I can honestly, and I have no qualms of telling folks, you know, if it's worth it or not. I've got nothing to gain by it. And, you know, if you go somewhere else and buy another computer, that's fine, too. I'm cool with that. But I just don't like to see folks being taken advantage of, and they spend all this money, because I've had a number of folks come in and say, well, I don't want to put a lot of more money into it, and I just put a couple $100 into it already. Why didn't they tell me this before? Well, that's why I offer it up front to tell you whether
it's worth
it or not.
Wrestle him to the ground. Chris, grab him. Wrestle him to the ground. All right. Put your footy jammies away. Put your empty hot cocoa mugs in the sink. We're going to put Uncle Dave away for another week. I think we've had quite enough of Uncle Dave. We got time for one phone call? No time for no phone calls? Excuse me, no time for any phone calls? I have lost my grammar. I have lost my grammar. I have not slept well this week, and I have lost my grammar entirely. But thank you, Uncle Dave. Another charming and lovely. Gotcha. He's in his rocking chair in Second Life,
yeah,
even as we speak. So for those of you who haven't gotten into Second Life yet,
we got to talk about that when we come back.
Now is the time. Yeah, yeah, after the poll and everything else. We are going to take a break. We will be back after the news, the weather, the sports, all the very exciting things for which you normally listen to Wham. They will be coming up shortly, and then we'll have a whole other hour of our utter and complete nonsense with Dave Enright, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, who is working very hard to keep me on the straight and narrow, and it's a lot like herding cats today. I don't know where my brain is, but it won't settle down into one place. I am Nick Francesco. You are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that is Sound Bites. At the top of the hour, we'll have our poll. We'll have a lot more news. We'll have a lot more of your phone calls. So if you're not on the line, get on the line, because we would love to hear from you on Wham 1180 WH. AM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. We are Sound Bites. As I said earlier in the show, every week we do a poll. Last week's poll, actually, let's talk about that, was about which network connection type you have. 354 of you voted, making number 80 in the all-time hit list. Thanks to each and every one of you. The number, completely flipping the national numbers, as Rochester so often does, being exactly the opposite of everybody else. Cable was number one with 59%, followed by DSL with 29%. Dial-up 7%, other 2%. That's probably you stinkers on Fios. I hate every one of you. Oh, no, fiber did have 2%. Dag nab you. And five people said none.
Tell us how you really feel.
I want Fios. I want Fios. This week's poll is about a quad-core laptop. Australian PC maker Pioneer Computers taking pre-orders for laptops based on an unreleased quad-core mobile processor from Intel, saying the chips are very close to being available. The 2.53 gigahertz quad-core Core 2 Extreme QX 9300 processor is averaged as a, get this, $1,400 upgrade to the laptop. So first you buy the laptop, which is about $1,300. Then you add the quad-core processor, which is $1,400. I don't honestly, truly know very many people who actually need this. Now, I know a whole lot of people who want this, but I don't know a whole lot of people
thing,
who
though,
need this.
The other thing that I'm concerned about is heat. The heat.
Yeah.
And battery life.
But those are the choices that we have. The poll, a quad-core laptop. The choices are, I need one, I want one, I'd like one, or meh. So far, we have about, I've got so much junk running in this thing machine. Well, we've got 99 people who voted. Next person who votes gets to be number 100. And the number one winner is meh, followed by I'd like one, followed by I want one. Six people actually think they need one. When you are done, by the way, with voting in the poll, I know that's not enough for you people. Just one little mouse click doesn't really do it for you. So luckily for you, underneath the poll, you'll see a yellow box. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, that will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
I beg your pardon. It's the radishes. Where you can leave an opinion. When you are done doing that, please feel free to take a look around my website. I do. I send out a newsletter, which if you're a member, you can search through the hundreds of tips and tricks and rants and raves and questions and answers and websites that I've put out there over the years. That alone is worth the $15 a year. That's right. It's only $15 a year. Cheap. It's cheap at half the price. It really is. And then when you're done with that, and of course, I have forums of my own. And when you're done with all that, come back and check out the Soundbites website. But in the meantime, we're also, of course, in IRC and an IRC chat, which you can get to from the front page of our site. And of course, we're also in Second Life, sitting around Dave for some reason. I'm not entirely certain what that's about, but we're doing that.
Just that they were around there for the story hour. Yeah, my rocking chair.
And then, of course, we are here with you at the moment, taking your phone calls at the numbers you already know so well. And our next caller is Sharon from Chi-Li, New York. Welcome, Sharon. What's your question?
I have a computer that is hooked to cable.
Right.
And I also have a router because I can work at home.
Yep.
But I bought a wireless laptop.
Right.
And I don't know how to connect it.
Well, it depends on the router, whether that's a wireless router. Does the router have, like, little antennas on it?
I bought a new router, a wireless router, mm-hmm. Linksys or whatever you call
Linksys,
it.
Linksys, yeah.
Linksys. So I have that, mm-hmm. and I have my laptop, but mm-hmm. I don't know how to connect it.
Well, there's a couple things. See, in the router, the wireless, you got to make sure, one, that that's set up for wireless.
It is.
And well, once it is, you also have to set it up for security because you don't want to leave it wide open.
Right. But I don't know how to begin connecting everything.
Yeah, well, there's where you might want to have somebody professionally set that up for you or, you know, come over and do that for you.
Right, right. I'll have to talk to our IT person at work, I guess, because he set me up to work at home.
Yeah. Right. Now, if that's a special modem required for working from home and you can't replace that router, then you're going to have to put the second router in as well. And that does take a little more. That needs somebody kind of on the ground or somebody to lead you through it because there are a lot of different options that are available depending on what kinds of routers you have.
Okay.
Because, yeah, you want to set up a pass. They'll set up a password for you so that you'll put that into the laptop so you sitting at home can get into it.
Well, and more importantly, if she can't take off the router that goes to work, then that router and the router she bought need to be on the same wavelength so that, and I mean that more philosophically than by wireless, so that they can talk to each other and et cetera, et cetera. So you really might need somebody, probably your IT guy from work, to at least lead you through that process, if not come over and do it for you. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Good luck, Sharon. Our next caller is Tom from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
I was on my computer yesterday.
Good for you.
And, and all of a sudden the CPU, there was like a clicking sound that came out of it. All right, and I got a blue screen that came up, and then everything shut down. When I tried to reboot it, I get a message saying the primary hard disk drive, zero failure. Strike F1 key to continue or F2 to run the setup utility.
Yep. That wasn't your CPU clicking. That was your hard drive clicking.
Okay.
And that's what it's telling you is the hard drive is failing on you.
Okay, so that can be repaired?
No, not repaired.
It might be, let's put it this way, you might be able to repair it enough to ghost it over to another hard drive.
Okay.
Might.
Okay.
Is the operative word.
Okay.
But you're looking
at definitely going to need a new hard drive.
Yeah.
The real question is whether you can retrieve the data from the old hard drive. Of course, you have a backup.
Some of it's backed up.
Well, that's more than most people answer.
Yeah. No, I do it occasionally. I'm not faithfully doing it all the time, but there's some stuff that I haven't. I like to recover if possible. And you guys, what's the name of where I could bring it in for you guys?
Enright PC.
Pardon me?
Enright PC. We're at 70 Empire Boulevard. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
Enright PC. All right.
Give them the phone number.
442-4843. We're just half a mile up past Dan's Crafts.
Okay. And the phone number again?
442-4843.
4843. I'll give you a call tomorrow.
All righty.
Thanks a lot, guys.
In general, folks, so you know, there are links to both Dave's store and Steve's store off of the Soundbites main page. You will see the pictures for their
companies, sites,
and then if you click on those, it'll take you right to them. So if you ever have a question, that's the way to get your answer. Our next caller Ed from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
I have a Windows XP computer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I start the computer up and all the icons come up and everything is fine, I'm ready to go, I hit Internet Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes, almost all the time, it takes me 3 to 4 minutes before it comes up to the any web page that I select. And I don't know what
to do. Now, is this something that relatively started recently?
Yes.
And have you danced the tango?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Okay, we have a site called Security Tango at the Security Tango. It's at securitytango.com.
Okay.
Click on the Let's Dance button and print out that page and follow all of those instructions step by step. What it sounds like you've got is a virus.
Oh.
Or spyware.
But it's some sort of bad stuff.
Yep.
On your machine.
Trojan.
That's trying to take over your internet connection and slowing everything else down.
Okay.
Now, the problem is they're trickier than they used to be. It used to be, well, just run your antivirus software and you're done. But now there's a whole set of procedures you have to go through, and that's the Security Tango.
Okay. It's securitytango.com. Left click on the button to select it.
On the Let's Dance button?
Left Dance.
Let's Dance, right? It's a tango. Let's Dance.
Oh, Let's Dance.
You got it.
Okay, good.
Print out that page and follow it step by step. And the reason I say that is that's why I call it a tango, because if you skip a step, you're not dancing anymore. You're just stumbling around.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you so much for your help, sir.
Thank you.
Yep. Have a good day.
You too.
All right, our next caller is Mike from Chi-Lai, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi. Earlier you had a gentleman call up and said that his cursor was going on a mind of its own.
Yep.
And you gave the solution that the modem options, I think, would be the situation. When I got into my machine, it says phone and modem options. It says remove, and I'm scared to remove a GEER Systems HDA modem, which I may need for my,
Right, you can disable them without removing them.
What do I do? I got phone and modem options. Then there's it says dialing rules, modems, advanced. I go to advanced. It only has add and remove there.
Well, you can disable them usually under the device manager.
Device manager?
Yeah, under the device manager. If you go underneath there, here, let me. We're working our way over.
I want to be sure, because if I had I removed that, I would have.
If you go in the control panel under systems, and you go to hardware and then device manager, and on, say, the modem, if you right click on it, there is a. In other words, you get the whole list of things in the device manager. If you click on the plus button, say next to the modem, it'll drop it down. So then you'll see the actual modem. If you right click on that particular modem item, there's an option to update driver, disable. That's what you want to do. It's just disable it.
Okay.
You don't have to uninstall it. Just disable it. It's still there. If you ever want it again, you just enable it again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if my cursor still takes off like somebody's taking control of my machine because there's some websites close by, it is conceivable that they got in through the back door or I've got some sort of a virus.
Well, if it's just randomly moving about the screen, it's likely to be the problem we discussed with Ron.
It jumps. It's like jumps, like I'm trying to go one way, and all of a sudden it just like takes off like somebody else is in control of my
machine. But it doesn't do anything specific, right?
It doesn't try to click on something. It just makes me nuts because it goes all over the place.
Well, that's it. Try this and see what happens.
Okay, fantastic.
It depends in general on how many things are on that one IRQ. But start with the modem. That's the most common and usually the only other one.
Yep.
So give that a shot. Let us know. All right, our next caller is John from Rochester, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I have a company-issued laptop, and we recently upgraded the VPN. Now, just like what Nick had in the newspaper this morning in his column, I'm not able to stay connected to my wireless router. If I plug in directly to the modem, I'm fine. And even other wireless, it works, but I cannot stay connected when I'm on the VPN in my wireless router. Now, I called tech support in my company, but they said their policy is not to help figure out problems with wireless routers.
Yeah, I understand that. All right, so you're saying if you're not on VPN, wireless works?
Correct.
But if you are on VPN, it cuts out.
Yep, 3 minutes. All of a sudden, I'll just get disconnected from my VPN.
Well,
can you change the rules in the VPN?
Well, that's the problem. I understand that they don't want to help you with it, but at least they should be able to tell you whether or not they've set that as a policy and that after 3 minutes it automatically shuts you off, which is what sounds like what's happening.
Yeah.
Well, what happened, I was talking to a guy in tech support because I had a problem getting my VPN to work, period. And when I described the problem, he said, connect directly to the modem. If it works, then you got a problem with your VPN. I might be able to call back and see if they help, but I'm wondering if I can do it myself. Someone said it may be the security settings in my firewall and the router isn't working with my VPN.
I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. But if they gave you a wireless router without protecting it?
It's my wireless router.
It is.
It's my wireless router.
It might be in the wireless router, and you should be able to change that. If you look in the manual, remember those? They used to come with computers' manuals. If you look in the manual for the router, it will tell you how to get into it via the web browser. And then you can read the various options. I mean, there are so many wireless routers out there and so many different options. I can't lead you anywhere. But if it's in there, you can change it. If they have set it up in the VPN rules, then you cannot.
Okay, so probably just try. So try maybe the tech support with Belkin, who's manufactured my router.
Right.
So is this something that might not be able to be fixed?
Right. If it's in the router, you should be able to fix it. If it's in the VPN software that your company gave you, then you cannot.
Yeah, you might have to unhook it from your router and go directly from the modem to your machine. In other words, anybody else on your network won't be able to get on, but you'll be able to get on, do your VPNing to the company, and, thus eliminate the issue.
Right.
Which is what I've been doing. Yeah, that leads me to one more real quick follow-up. I just had cable installed. Can I go from the modem into a hub and then have one hub go directly to my into my computer and the other hub go to the router?
I'm not quite sure what you're asking, but you can certainly connect any router up to your cable modem, yes. So, yeah, that would work fine. I'm not entirely certain what else you might be
asking. Sounds like he wants to go two levels of routers.
Yeah.
You can. I've got three levels of routers in my house from various
businesses. I don't think he's still not going to get around if that wireless.
If it's in the VPN software, he cannot get around it. Going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, Nick Francesco, and you. 23 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 27 and 10 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. All right, quickly, some good news. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about how Comcast had a pilot in place. They were going to start what they call shaping traffic, managing the traffic on a system. For example, if you do a lot of peer-to-peer stuff, you know, the things that the 8-year-olds use to steal music and the rest of us use to download our copies of Ubuntu. They were going to start throttling that back to make it a much lesser amount of a cast of your bandwidth. So obviously the peer-to-peer stuff would happen much, much, much slower as a start to deciding what you could and couldn't do on their thing. Well, we were all up in arms about it. It seems that on Friday, FCC Chairman Kevin Martin, God bless him, recommended that Comcast be reprimanded for slowing peer-to-peer BitTorrent traffic. Comcast says it throttles the P2P traffic only during times of peak congestion, but Martin and a study from the Max Planck Institute for Software Systems in Germany have contended that Comcast blocks BitTorrent traffic during off-peak hours as well. Martin told the Associated Press that Comcast's actions have violated FCC principles. Huh, who knew? Intended to protect internet users by arbitrarily blocking some traffic and not telling its customers. The so-called net neutrality principles say ISP should not block or impair illegal applications. Wow, let me read that sentence again. The so-called net neutrality principles say ISP should not block or impair legal applications unless the blocking is part of reasonable network management. Comcast doesn't block any traffic and only slows a small portion of P2P uploads, but the commission has never before given any guidance on what it means by reasonable network management, and apparently this falls under it. So this is one of those cases and I'm as dazed as you are, that the FCC is on our side and we're getting way better service because of it. Thank you.
What are they on, bad drugs?
Very much to our pals at the FCC, including FCC Chairman Kevin Martin. All right.
In my experience, it's been a while since the FCC has made a recommendation in our favor.
Yes, 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 yes. But we'll just move on. That would be best. Our next caller is Dave from Greece. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
On my video, I get a constant rebuffering, and this happens after about 4 or 5 seconds, and I have to wait for it to rebuffer, and then I get a continuation.
This is when you're viewing movies or videos or YouTubes or that sort of fare?
Yeah, like even if I go to I go to 1180 News and hit on one of the videos there, and the same thing happens. Then I go to YouTube, and the same thing happens there.
How do you connect to the internet?
I have a dial-up.
There you go.
That's it.
Yep. Yeah, that's it right there. The problem is, man, it's getting worse. You know, I've said for years about hardware, the price of poker keeps going up. Mm-hmm. It's also very true of network connections. Dial-up is great for email, a very simple web browsing, things like that. But when you want to do videos, when you want to go to media-rich websites, mm-hmm. when you want to do Second Life, when you want to, you know, any of those things, dial-up just will not cut it.
What's the best deal for broadband, do you think?
Yeah, everybody has a different deal every week. I don't keep up anymore. I'm sorry. I can't. Okay. There are too many of them. But there are a lot of options. If you're in an area that provides either cable or DSL service, certainly check to see what the current deals are and play them off against each other. Nothing wrong with that. If you're outside of an area that cannot be served by that, there's Clearwire and a couple of others that I've been trying to get hold of the Clearwire guy, but of course I was not available this week myself. So,
do they have to do any special things to run a broadband to your computer?
What?
Well, for instance, I had a local phone company come over and replace a wire, and they put a box on the outside of the house.
Right.
Is that what I would need if I were to go to the local phone company to get broadband or high speed?
Well, they would make sure that your lines are clean. They may change that box a little bit. So, for example, if you wanted to go with let me tell you what happened when I went with DSL. They came in, they looked at my lines, they laughed, they replaced them all.
Inside the house?
No, outside the house.
Oh, yeah. Well, they just replaced that phone line outside the house.
Yeah, well, that's what they did for me. Well, I knew it. Every 2 years, the squirrels chew up my cable line, my DSL line, and my phone line. They replaced that. They upgraded the box on the outside of my house, and then pretty much I was done.
So they don't use the phone line. They install a separate line for high speed. Is that what you're saying?
It comes over the same copper that's on your phone line.
Okay.
So but in my case, they had to replace that because it was in such bad shape.
Right. Okay. Well, okay. Well, thank you.
There you go.
Goodbye.
Have fun. The world of dial-up is being unfortunately left behind. You can still do things like IRC and simple web browsing and things like that. Links, we talked about that. Was it here? Yeah. We talked about that last week.
Last week, right.
Yep. Yeah.
No streaming over dial-up.
No, you just can't do it. It just cannot be done. Our next caller is Dar, all the way up in Ontario, Canada. How are things, Dar?
Oh, man, guys, you are amazing. My stupidity just went out the window.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dar.
In Ubuntu, external laptop speakers, the USB type, nothing happened.
Right.
Oh, so that's okay.
Well, it's not okay, but it's the way it seems to work.
Right. There was not much on the internet and you Google it.
Right.
So went to the old style.
Yep.
They worked immediately.
Yep.
Which is to be expected in Ubuntu, right?
Right, yep. No surprise.
Sure, sure. And then, in the panic, disconnected them, plugged them back in, nothing. Now comes the stupidity. Okay? Dummy, check to see that you plug the thing into the green female port.
And then that's called FM.
Before talking to you. Talk about egg on your face.
Isn't that the truth? You know what, Dar? God bless you. We have all done that. Anybody who is honest will tell you they have done that more than once.
But that's why I'm telling it on the air, so people will say, hey, what about that dumb cow that did that? I better check.
Always check the stupid stuff, preferably first.
Yeah, yeah. This is why I always tell people my troubleshooting always begins with the simplest and most embarrassing thing.
Yeah.
Whatever would embarrass me the most, if it were wrong, I checked that first. You're absolutely right, Dar. You have a wonderful sense of humor. We love us some Dar here on the Soundboy Show.
As a mechanic,
show.
May I interject?
You may.
As a mechanic, customers expect you to plug the car into the frigging huge machine and give you a diagnostic right away, give you trouble codes, and we'll fix them. That's not how it works on cars. It goes with the friggin' basics, vacuum leaks, old spark plug wires, visual inspection. Nothing's changed, really. As you just said, you have to do the dirty work first.
Absolutely. Yep. Whatever would be simplest and most embarrassing, you check that first. You sound like you have some intimate knowledge of mechanics of automobiles, Dar.
And a beer wouldn't hurt.
Exactly. Computer people like mechanics can be bribed.
Well, it helps the thought process. It calms you down. Because you got to sit there and relax and kind of
give you something to do with your hands while you're thinking. Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of throwing wrenches and everything else at it.
The many times I used to teach troubleshooting, I always said the best tools you have are your eyes.
Yeah. I have a friend who used to call me up regularly, and I would pick up the phone, and at the other end, first thing I would hear, I have Guinness. And I knew he had a computer problem, and I would be going over to his house that night. Thank you so much, Dar. Have fun up there in Ontario. Our next caller, Walter in Shalott. Welcome, Walter. What's your question?
Hello, gentlemen, and thank you for being there to help us, the rest of humanity.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but thank you.
We're here. Okay. We have a computer running Windows XP. I loaded on some software, did not like it. It kept reinstalling itself to be part of the startup, got rid of it. When I went to the Add Remove Programs part of Windows, none of the buttons are there under each of the programs. So luckily, I was able to uninstall that software. But after rebooting, the buttons did not reappear to add or remove software. I understand I should be able to go into the registry and maybe make some changes, but would you recommend I do that?
Or should I go and
try some other uninstallers such as Rainbow?
I've got one for you to try. What you want to do is do a Google search for Revo.
Revo.
He actually mentioned that while you were talking.
And you pull that program up, and you select option number 4, the bottom one. And what that will do is it'll scour for that program. It not only does the formal uninstall, it also looks into the registry. You can say select all and then delete. And it will delete all the entries in the registry without you actually having to go in there, play around with stuff that you're not so sure whether you should delete or not. It will safely delete them for you.
Perfect. So that's what it is. A thumbs up for Revo then.
Yeah, I'm liking it more and more. I'm hoping, you know, I want to do a little more research and playing around with it. But I'm confident right now on a pretty good basis to, like I said, the listener that recommended it last week to recommend it. It's proving to be very good. And I think we might even add that on to the Soundbite CD.
All right. And Dave approves of Revo. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Revo. Dave Revo Enright, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 38 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, we should talk a little bit about what's going on in Second Life. We've got people from Virginia and Tennessee and all over the place sitting in there chit-chatting away. In Second Life, again, you have to be a member. So you got to go to the Second Life website, download the client, create a username and password, get in, learn a little bit about how to use it. And then while that's running, while that client is running, go back to our website at soundbites.org and click on the little link that tells you to visit us. And join us in Second Life, and then it'll bring up a page. You click on teleport, and you're there.
We're going to, hopefully this week, have the Lori Lynch how-to get on Second Life.
Oh, and Lori does the best how-tos.
Well, she's going to do it step by step. So as she says, as an end user, who doesn't know anything.
Good.
I'm going to walk her through it. She's going to put it in her terms. So anybody,
right,
like even Dolores, anybody else that's having issues getting in, signing up and everything else, she's going to do a step-by-step procedure for folks,
nice,
on how to do it. And hopefully we'll have that ready by this week.
Nice.
Depending on her schedule. But she said she'd love to do that up for us. And
you're a very, very, very lucky man.
I'm darn lucky.
You deserve so much less and you got so much more.
You got it. No argument at this end. None
whatsoever.
And
Lori, if you're listening, you're a saint. I had no idea. Okay, you made one mistake in your life, so we're going to forgive you. Our next caller is Steve from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Oh, guys, you are the gurus of all. I prostrate myself before you.
Thank you. I think that, okay, whatever works.
I don't want that picture in my mind.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Well, I woke up this morning, rebooted or turned on my computer, and got the NTDLR is missing.
Yep.
And I went out and I found a site that got me an exec file, and I was able to get started. I went into it, automatically went into check disk, and I said, that's a wonderful thing to do. Went through part one, found a couple errors. It's doing part two, the file verification.
Yep.
And it's checking error in index $O for file 440.
Mm-hmm.
It's repeated that four times in a row and has stopped there now for 55 minutes.
You might have a hard drive going south on you.
Now, what I didn't tell you, and I don't know if this makes a difference to the program I read or anything, I am running two Raptors in a RAID 0. So can I just turn off and start again, reboot my computer in the middle of this check disk?
Yeah, yeah.
I obviously don't want to.
No, the check disk, that's all it's doing, is checking it.
Right.
It's not rearranging anything at this point.
Well, it says it was correcting. It was in the middle of correcting an error.
Yeah, but if it's uncorrected, it's still going to be uncorrected. Again, it hasn't disrupted anything that should be disruptive to you as far as booting. If it's messed up, it's messed up.
Okay, and you think I should just, I may have one of my two hard drives is going.
Yeah.
And because it's in a RAID 0, is it possible to figure out which one, or?
Try switching it to the other one, see if it'll boot off of that.
Well, since they're in a RAID 0, so they're both
striped.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if one goes, you should be able to boot off the other.
Not in RAID 0. No,
not with RAID 0. RAID 0.
No,
it's striped.
RAID 0.
It's been a long week for me. I apologize.
It does sound like that's a bad file. Now, I don't recognize the file name, and you don't have backups, do you?
8% of the world doesn't.
Yeah, well, yeah. So our third one of the day where backups would have solved a whole lot of problems?
Well, okay, I just rebooted, and it seems to be rebooting adequately. I do have another quick
okay, question. Then wait a minute. Then the first thing you're going to do is what, Steve?
I'm going to get an external hard drive and backup.
That's my boy.
And don't turn the computer off in the meantime.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Now, I got a quick Adaware question for you.
Sure.
If I run Adaware, do the remove, and then run Adaware again 10 minutes later, even if I've not gone anywhere in the net, it still finds more ads to remove again. You can run Adaware every 10 minutes and find.
Yep.
Yeah, because it can still find stuff in your restore files.
Well, and equally importantly, just because you're not on the web yourself, what are you running? Are you running your email program? What else is attaching to the web?
Yeah, what's running is
to the internet, not to the web, but to the internet.
Right.
TSRs.
Yes.
Remember those things?
Okay, I didn't make myself clear enough. I've actually unplugged my modem. I'm not at all on the internet.
Then in that case, when was the last time you danced the security tango?
Oh, I do it twice a week.
Because what it, yeah.
I do dance twice a week, guys. You got me, you made me an aficionado there.
I'll have to look into that because I don't know where that would be coming from.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly something is doing it, but I don't know what. But we have to take a break now. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, Nina Francesco, and you. 49 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, 1180 WHAN. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 53 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Thought Val had fallen asleep on a keyboard there for a moment. Turns out to have been her cat. But we're back on the air now, and our next caller is Victor from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Victor. What's your question?
I burned a music CD yesterday. It plays in the car, plays in the computer, but it won't play in a home DVD player. Any ideas why?
You're talking about the one hooked up to your computer?
Yeah.
Or the one hooked up to your...
Television.
The one hooked up to your computer or the one hooked up to your television?
The one hooked up to the television, it doesn't work. It works every place else.
Okay, not every DVD player can play a music CD.
This is one I made, but you buy the store-bought CDs, and it plays fine.
Right, because that one, did you finalize the session?
That's a good question.
See, on DVDs for the home use, for them to play, in other words, they'll play on, you know, like on the car or on the computer. They don't necessarily have to be closed. But for DVD players for home entertainment centers, these has to have a closed session on it.
Is that on the program itself?
Yeah. Usually within it, you can close the session so nothing else can be written to it.
Sometimes it's called finalize.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's called close. Sometimes it's complete. Sometimes it's end. Depends on which program you're using, which version of which program you're using.
You just got to search around, but that should solve it for you.
Okay, I'll have to look for that. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, yep. Victor. Our next caller is Lance from Kendall, New York. Welcome, Lance. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I've got a ASUS computer, high-end computer, laptop. And what I did is I bought a new hard drive for it, a bigger one, partitioned it, drive C and D, took my backup that I always back up my laptop, and I... reloaded it on drive C for Windows XP. It's XP Media version. Now, what I want to do is I want to buy put a secondary operating system on a Vista on the on drive D. Now, I'm looking online to buy one. There's all kinds of different versions of Vista.
Yeah.
What version would work for my computer that's running media?
None of them.
Well, yeah. There's that.
Do you really want to waste that kind of money?
Yeah. Here's the dirty little secret. The major difference between the home and enterprise versions is the home version will not let you connect to a server on an Active Directory network. Now, unless you actually have an Active Directory network in your home, that's hardly an important distinction. Are you planning on using it as your primary operating system? And if so, do you have the number of a good psychiatrist? But secondly, if you're going to use it as your primary operating system, then getting one of the higher end versions is never a bad idea. But if you're only using it to dabble around in, the lower end edition should work fine. It's not about the capabilities of the system. It's your use of it. Okay. I think we've got time. Yes. Or Roger from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Great show. Great education.
Thanks.
Looking at Ubuntu, it's available now at Best Buy, complete with tech support and everything. My question is, I'm running a smartphone that's running Windows 6.0. Am I going to still be able to put in the programs necessary to sync my smartphone if I'm running Ubuntu as my primary OS?
Smartphone running what?
Windows 6.0.
Smartphone.
See, Pantech Duo through AT&T.
Well, there are a couple of synchronizing programs. I don't have an answer off the top of my head. I truly don't.
Check in at the forum in Ubuntu and see.
Check in at the Ubuntu forum. I'll look into this, but I don't have an answer off the top of my head. Like I said, there are a whole bunch of synchronizing programs that work, but I don't know about specifically the smartphones. I'm sorry. All right, we are done for another week. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. I want to thank all the folks in the IRC chat. I looked in, but I didn't get to type much. I want to thank all the folks in Second Life. I looked in, but I didn't get to type much because I was, you know, doing a radio show. I specifically want to thank Dave Enright, Chris Reich, who every week comes in here, and we not only don't pay him, but we abuse him while he's here. And he
I'm used to it.
He's used to it. And he comes in here and gives us of his expertise every week to put our show on the podcast. God bless him for that. And Rob Linton, who seems to show up whether we want him to or not. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 58 minutes after the hour. Thanks for watching, listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.